What is up, Markamaniacs? It's time for another edition of the Wrestling Minute. I am, of course, your host, Kev Nevick, and in this episode, we're going to be talking about the Monday Night Raw episode, the last Raw of January 2024, as we are only hours away from this SmackDown, the first SmackDown of February 2024. So let's dive right in. We're not going to go through the entire episode of Raw, and we're not going to go through things in chronological order. We're going to cover the handful of the biggest stories from the episode, and we're going to do them in order of importance, at least as filtered by me. So take that as you will. We will start with the free agent signing. That also leads to the continued buildup of our general manager rivalry. For those of you who are new here, please understand that we stand for Nick Aldis and we troll Adam Pearce because he cannot take a joke. So that's what you get, all right? I'm not encouraging any of you to go harass Adam Pearce. In fact, do not do that. We're just having a little fun, but Nick Aldis all the way, and you're about to see how once again old Big Stick Nick takes another W from my fellow bald brother, Adam Pearce. Andrade signs with Raw. The segment begins with Adam Pearce and Andrade hashing out the paperwork. Nick Aldis shows up. I don't really know what they were supposed to be talking about, but Nick Aldis is immediately upset because Andrade signed with Raw without ever talking with SmackDown. Nick Aldis says, you know, hey, I let Bayley and Damage Control come here tonight so they could talk about the Royal Rumble victory. And this is how you repay me. Which, if I'm being honest, Mr. Aldis, that's kind of a chump move, dude. It's business, okay? Y'all are competing brands. You do have to do some collaboration, but man, dude, what's he supposed to do? Hey, I made you this contract. Make sure you go and run it by my competition first. Now, even for kayfabe, that's a little much, my good friend, but I'm staying on your side. And as the segment continued, Nick Aldis gets the real W because he has to leave the segment. They never talk about any, at one point, Adam Pearce says Nick Aldis was just the man he was hoping to see. No idea what he was talking about. Nick came there, talked to him about something, complained when he saw that Andrade was there signing paper, and then had to take a phone call from the one, the only Bron Breakker. So we get the Bron's going to SmackDown part, and that's pretty cool. But I would love to know. I'm dying to know. That plot hole, what was Nick Aldis actually going to talk to Adam Pearce about? Maybe we'll find out. I doubt it. I'll be honest, I kind of doubt it. Moving on. Actually, before we move on, let me know, which one are you more excited about? Maybe I'm moving too quickly from that. Let me give you my thoughts. Andrade, think he's a solid worker, a good worker for sure. Maybe even great, you know, can do some cool things in the ring. I've not really been witness to any of his hotter times in WWE. I wasn't really watching a lot of that run. I've seen some of his matches in AEW. Again, I think good in-ring work. The storylines have always been meh at best. So we'll see. I've been loosely paying attention to the Escobar Carlito LWO thing. It had me at first. It, like almost every other storyline the WWE right now, has seems to have lost its momentum with me, but maybe that's a personal choice. Moving to Bron Breakker, I like that a lot more than Andrade. I kind of think Andrade is just going to be a mid-card talent for the time being, but we shall see. Braun, I think, was positioned by taking the, maybe it was the Brock Lesnar spot, allegedly the Brock Lesnar spot in Rumble, gets booked very strongly in the Rumble, puts himself in a position where you feel like he has to go to the main roster now. If you're a viewer, you're like, wow, that guy did a lot of damage. How are you going to bring Omos back to the main roster if Bron Breakker is still a non-champion in NXT? I'll be honest with you, when he lost the belt way back when, I figured that, because he was already a two-time champion, right? I figured at a certain point he was already getting called up. Makes sense that it would happen now. If anything, it's a better late than never scenario. Maybe there are some things he still needed to work on. As I've noted before, I do not watch NXT regularly. We will be catching more of it for this program, so be sure to subscribe if that interests you, and let me know who some of your NXT favorites are so we know who to talk about first when we start jumping in. So excited for Bron Breakker. I think maybe he's someone who, if he comes in as a face, maybe he gets a run with against Logan Paul for the U.S. title. I think he needs to have a non-title feud early so he can get some wins, because I don't think they'll take the belt off Logan anytime soon. I'd love to see him feud with Gunther if they're going to continue Gunther's reign, but again, I don't think you bring up a guy who's athletically gifted like Breakker and have him lose his first big money feud. I think you want to help get him over and elevate him to main card status. I think with his athletic skills and his name recognition being a second generation superstar, he's in a lucky position where he may not have to rise through the main card ranks like your usual NXT graduate might. He's going to come in and be someone who can essentially be upper mid card right away, and then after a few feuds, I think be a main event level talent for the foreseeable future. So very excited there. Moving on quickly to the next segment, at least the one that we're going to talk about next, kind of ties into that first one because we have Bayley and Damage Control in the ring. Bayley talks about her victory, takes all the credit for Damage Control's success, which is of course building towards what we believe will be Bayley versus Io Sky at WrestleMania. Maybe it'll be Bayley versus Rhea, but Rhea interrupts Bayley, and then Rhea is interrupted by Nia Jax, who wipes her out. Several leg drops. Love seeing Nia Jax bust out the Hulk Hogan moves, and then the whatever that Yokozuna ass blaster is in the corner. She hit Rhea with one of those. I believe it's going to be Rhea versus Nia at the next pay-per-view, PLE. Of course, Rhea wins that. But we shall see. I imagine where they're going. They've been setting it up for a long time that Bayley and Damage Control are going to break up. But the way they have been setting it, I kind of thought maybe Bayley was going to end up with a face turn because she's going to get kicked out by the heel group, but they still have her doing stuff like saying, and all of this is thanks to me. Well, now you've given the other members of this heel group a plausible, logical reason to be tired of her ass and kick her out. Like, now it's not a heel thing that they're doing. They're just normal, you know, because she's being an ass. She's taking the credit for everybody's hard work. So are they going to be a group of baby faces that cheat? Like, what? I don't understand how this is being booked right now. I think at a certain point, whenever they're going to commit to this, somebody's got to be the good gal. Somebody's got to be the bad gal, or in this case, bad gals. And I don't know if anyone stays on Bayley's side. I think Damage Control probably stays a four-woman heel group, but we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this will be Rhea versus Bayley at WrestleMania. I think it's going to be Rhea versus Becky and Bayley versus Io. That's my guess, but we shall see. Let me know what you thought of that segment and how you feel about Nia Jax versus Rhea Ripley. I'm not a big Nia Jax fan. A victory over someone of Nia Jax's stature, and I guess to the very casual fans, her stature, I mean that literally, by the way, but also potential, the name recognition, being part of the Rock's family, the My Whole meme, you know, people who are just on the internet who don't watch wrestling probably know who Nia Jax is at that point, and they know that she is rather large. So it's sort of a Hogan-esque title defense. Stay with me here for a second, but it's sort of, in this case, Nia Jax is the John Tunda? I can't think of his name. With the LSU Tiger tattoo. You know who I'm talking about. Avalanche. Anyway, it's just like a stereotypical Hulk Hogan's fighting this guy, kind of a mid-card talent, but he's just a massive son of a bitch. And with all due respect, this is kind of how I feel about Rhea Ripley taking on Nia Jax. Yeah, name recognition. Okay, she's upper mid-card, main event-esque. She's mainly known because of how stiff she is with the other girls in the locker room out there on the ring, and she's known for hurting people. She created the man by breaking Becky's nose. I think maybe on accident. I think that was a genuine nose break. I don't remember. But anyway, it's not like, Rhea's taking on one of the top stars of the business, but it's, she's going to take on a giant. You know, Nia Jax is essentially the current women's division. I wouldn't even want to say it's an equation to Andre the Giant. It's more like a King Kong Bundy or something. But I hope you get what I'm saying, because I'm ready to move on from it. But let me know what your thoughts are on that upcoming title match, should it happen. One upcoming match that will not be happening is CM Punk at WrestleMania 40. As of time of recording, it is believed that CM Punk has already undergone surgery for his torn tricep, so that is good news. But as it pertains to Monday Night Raw, he came out, surprisingly cut a face promo, I believe, with a line like, "I didn't wait 10 years just to lose to Dusty's kid." They were maybe setting him up to be more of an antagonist. The good thing about Punk's character, which has been this way for a long time, is he can do and say heel things while still being pushed as a babyface, because he's someone who speaks truth to power. You know, it's kind of his thing. It's kind of his gimmick that he's just an asshole. He just says what he thinks and doesn't apply a filter to it. Hey, I have no idea what it's like to be such a person, but more power to you, Mr. Punk. I hope we're all following along with that one. Wink, wink. CM Punk does a heartfelt promo to the crowd about how he's a Cubs fan. Maybe next year. He wants Cody to finish his story. He's not mad at anybody, but he's going to come back. He's injured, but he's coming back. Cool. Interrupted by heel Drew McIntyre, and now I cannot wait to talk with you guys about heel Drew McIntyre. A little bit of foreshadowing. I think this heel Drew run is some of his best character work of all time. But let's get into the segment first. Drew interrupts Punk, says he said a lot of hateful things about him since he got here. Pronouns, pal. Ooh, probably can't even make that joke anymore, can I? Anyway, Drew says he had many of negative things to say about CM Punk since CM Punk has arrived at the WWE, and he meant them, but seeing Punk there, injured, talking to the crowd, he had a lot of emotions because Drew McIntyre, while never believing himself to be a spiritual man, he wanted CM Punk to know that he prayed for this and it happened. And that one sets the crowd off, you know, beautiful heel work. And after a little back and forth between the two, and CM Punk says, when I come back, I'm getting my WrestleMania main event, but the first checklist is you. I think he probably meant to say the first item on my checklist is you. But either way, we get the point. He is coming back, and when he does, he's coming after Drew McIntyre. Drew then tries to attack CM Punk, who's able to counter and get the best of Drew briefly, but while attempting to get his right arm out of the sling, Drew hits him with a Glasgow kiss, nice little headbutt, and exits the ring after CM Punk is saved by Sami Zayn. You see how forgettable that part of it was? I almost forgot that that happened and moved right along. But Sami Zayn makes the save. He returned at the Royal Rumble at number 30. If you want to hear my thoughts on that, we did about 30 minutes of that Rumble review as our last episode. So go ahead and check that out. But for those of you who don't remember, Sami was taken out by Drew. Short little vacation. He's back. He has enough reasons to want to hurt Drew McIntyre, and then he saw Drew McIntyre hurting and injured CM Punk. Sami Zayn, once the satirical locker room leader, now a tried and true real locker room leader as he's presented on this Raw roster, steps up, fights McIntyre off, and they are going to be the main event. So we will come back to this plot line momentarily before we talk about how this played out in the main event, and then talk about our biggest story, in my opinion, of the night. Let's talk about heel Drew McIntyre, shall we? Folks, if you are not on Twitter right now, congratulations, first of all. I mean, good for you. You have much better mental health than probably all the rest of us that are on Twitter for any amount of time throughout the day. So congratulations to you. You are living that life, some considered a myth. However, if you have not seen Drew McIntyre's heel work on Twitter, brother or sister, you are missing out, because Drew's doing some great work right now just on his Twitter timeline with the memes, like a gravestone that said CM Punk's WrestleMania run or whatever, 2024 to 2024, just all kinds of slapping his face over just already made memes for this situation, getting into fights with was it USA Today? And WWE tweeted CM Punk and Cody hugging backstage, and Punk saying, "Finish your story, bro." And USA Network or somebody said, "Don't show Drew." And then Drew quote tweeted that with the honking SpongeBob meme, and, you know, did the weird miscapitalization of "don't show Drew." I mean, he's just doing a phenomenal job. We've talked about this in previous episodes as well, so forgive me, frequent viewers. But the WWE is doing a great job, at least certain characters. I can't say everyone's doing this, but generally speaking, they're doing a better job of using social media to push their storylines forward. I mean, even to lead up to the Rumble on SmackDown, Logan Paul's promos were essentially just Twitter videos that he was sharing that they would play during the U.S. title tournament. And then they also have their characters go in here and do these kayfabe tweets that build the storyline throughout the week. This is, in my opinion, the right way to play to the internet fans and what I now hear referred to as the IWC. I think this is a good move on their part, and no one is capitalizing on it more than one Drew McIntyre. I am loving this heel run. I hear that his contract ran out in December, but that due to injuries, months were added that will get him through WrestleMania. I personally, based on what I have seen from AEW, admittedly, it's been a couple of weeks. I checked out their YouTube page last night in preparation for this episode. I did watch a couple of things trying to keep up with the Sting and Darby Allin run at least. But to be blunt with all of you, what I have seen from AEW in the last, let's just say, 6 months, I would not want to see Drew McIntyre go there. I think that if the WWE can give him a constant flow of good rivals to keep him busy, so to speak, between that Punk return, I think heel Drew probably, I think Drew could be a heel for all of 2024 and really build this up and be one of the better solo heels in WWE right now, and by the time Punk gets back for surgery, it'll be even hotter. But let me know what you think about that. I would love to see Drew McIntyre sticking around with the WWE, at least for this year, to see some of these storylines play out. Because it's not just Punk that he has the history with. You know, he's got that running storyline with the Judgment Day. I think the Seth Rollins thing has been pretty much cooked. The Sammy thing doesn't interest me as much. But Drew's got beef with just about everybody on this roster right now. So there's a lot of storylines that could be created off of that. And for that reason, I would rather see him in the WWE than AEW as of right now. Let's go back to what would be the main event of Raw. It's not our main event, and that sticks with Drew taking on Sammy. It's a decent match. Drew gets the win, does so with some underhanded tactics, as always. It was okay. Not the best main event, in my opinion, from coming out of a pay-per-view like that, but it could have been worse. And that's a great way to describe our main event segment, which features the two-time back-to-back Royal Rumble champion, or winner, I should say, Cody Rhodes, and his promo in which he was about to announce, as we all knew, that he would be challenging Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, thus dispelling all the Rock v. Roman at WrestleMania rumors and finally putting to bed my meme for good. However, Seth Rollins comes out and cuts one of the weirdest promos I have ever had the pleasure of witnessing. This one, correct me if I'm wrong, in your opinion, this one reminded me of some of the recent AEW championship feuds, and to be frank, to be fair and just, a lot of Seth Rollins' own title run, with maybe the exception of Shinsuke Nakamura. This is back to that, I want you at your best. I want to be an honorable man. I want you, you know, you're going to be 100%. We're going to win things between the ropes. No dirty deeds, just straight wrestling. If you like sports-based wrestling, Cody, you should come take my title from me. And this is where we get to where it really gets weird. It was that first critique is minor. Let me be clear. I do think that note's being played a little too often in mainstream wrestling right now. But Seth coming out and saying to Cody, while we all know in kayfabe and real life that Seth has a hurt knee and is going to do his best to get to WrestleMania, some have speculated, I think maybe Jim Cornette has said this, probably a couple others, this could be a good opportunity now that Punk is hurt to put Gunther in a title match with Seth Rollins, let him work the knee so that we have an excuse, you know, a good reason for Rollins to lose so he can go have his surgery or whatever, take the time he needs to rehab, and then Gunther can pull an Ultimate Warrior. He can relinquish the IC title without losing it, and then we can open that up and start to use that title again. That's a possibility. Maybe that's still what they do, but the thought processes like that are what makes this promo to me feel so awkward, because we have a babyface challenging another babyface, the champion who knows he's hurt is basically saying, Cody, you're the best in this business. Don't go after Roman Reigns. Come and take my title. Your dad would want you to have my title. I don't really want it anymore. I don't need it. I mean, those last two parts are implied by me a little bit. But do you see what I'm saying? Let me know if you don't. In my opinion, this is a very weird promo. This, come take my title from me, Cody. I want you to fight me And I get it. It's because Seth is the honorable man. He's the fighting champion. But I just hate that gimmick. Okay, let's cut to brass tacks. I'm sure that's how that saying goes. I don't like Seth's gimmick of I'm the fighting champion. I'm always hurt. Roman Reigns should be an honorable man. I don't mind it. I don't like it. But whatever. Rollins has to be a face somehow. I much prefer Seth Rollins when he's a heel. I don't think it matters anymore in modern wrestling if fans are singing along with the heel song. AEW does it every single week. All their fans do it. Don't think it's the end of the world. I don't like babyface Seth, but he's literally the only face champion that currently exists. So, in a way, I get it. But this promo just made no sense to me. I don't genuinely believe that the WWE would do this match at WrestleMania. Let me know what you think. I could be wrong, but it felt like just a way to extend the story for a week, you know, try to just draw this out, because as we now know, Cody will be on SmackDown tonight. As a matter of fact, I'll be tuning out here soon so I can go watch that and we can talk about it this weekend. But Cody's going to be at SmackDown. I imagine he's going to be moving shows, going over there. Maybe he'll do the both shows thing for the road up to WrestleMania. But we shall see. Let me know again what your thoughts are. Who should Seth fight in WrestleMania now that we know that Punk won't be there? We know that Brock Lesnar won't be there. What sort of booking changes would you make? For a couple of weeks there, we WWE fans, wrestling fans in general, had quite a potential WrestleMania 40 card on our hands, didn't we? I'm hearing that the alleged planned booking for Brock was to have him work with Dom. As you saw, Dom was the one who eliminated Bron Breakker. That was supposed to be Brock's spot. It was going to start a feud between Dom and Brock, leading to, I believe, Brock and Gunther at WrestleMania. Imagine that. Brock, Gunther, CM Punk, Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns. Just wow. Of course, knowing what we know now about Brock, can't say I'm going to miss him. Not worth it, in my opinion. But we shall see what comes of all of that. And thank you, folks, one more time for tuning in to the Wrestling Minute. I greatly appreciate your time, especially those of you who are still here. Please like and subscribe on your way out. Share with a friend if you could. And until the next installment of the Wrestling Minute, you take care out there.